Well, as we turn our attention to the preaching of God's Word, this morning we're looking at Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 19 to 27. And this was, as meant to be, last week's message, as we finished the series on who we are, and we had a week left over in 2021, and the expectation was to start a series in Titus in the new year, and since we were ill last week and unable to meet, this message was kind of a looking towards the coming new year. So now that the new year's day has passed, we're kind of still, this year is fresh, so we're looking at it as far as just something for us all to remember of the blessing that there is in the Sabbath day, as we consider this coming year. And even though our numbers are small, the gathering of the saints and the worship together is a blessing in keeping the Sabbath day. And as we consider this topic, we'll be looking at Jeremiah 17, and I'll read verses 19 to 27. We'll be considering the blessing in keeping the Sabbath. So here now, this is the living word of God. This is Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 19 to 27. Thus the Lord said to me, "Go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, by which the kings of Judah come in and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say to them, 'Hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah, and all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter by these gates. Thus says the Lord, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. But they did not obey nor incline their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall be, if you heed me carefully, says the Lord, to bring no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day to do no work on it, then shall enter the gates of this city kings and princes sitting on the thrones of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, accompanied by the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin and from the lowland, from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and incense, bringing sacrifices of praise to the house of the Lord. But if you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle the fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched." May the Lord bless the reading and also the preaching of his word, as his word endures forever. As we consider kind of this topic of the blessing that is in the Sabbath day, as we consider the coming year and how to organize our lives, and as we have those thoughts running through our head of what could we devote to this coming year, what things might need to change, as is common for us all to kind of examine ourselves as we observe the passing of a previous year and the birth of a new year. We have New Year's resolutions that we always make, or tend to make, not always, but tend to, goals that we want to see accomplished in this coming year. And as we consider this church, our hope, as we've prayed this morning and as we pray each week, that we will see the Lord's hand working among us. I firmly believe that we can expect that eagerly, as God has brought us together and he will and is working among us, and we will see these chairs fill with new people. It may not be overnight, but over time, we will see new people come and become a part of this fellowship. But one of the things that as we consider our hope for growth and our hope for being established is what is one of the foundational principles of our faith that at times can get set aside the easiest. And that's the observance of the Sabbath day. That's keeping it holy. Now, there are various interpretations of what that means, but what we're looking at today is the necessity of keeping the Sabbath and the necessity of keeping it holy in our hearts and our minds, of setting it aside and giving it to the Lord. And what the Lord promises in the keeping of his day is blessing. He promises blessing to his people. And that's what we'll be looking at this morning, is that the Lord promises blessing in keeping the Sabbath holy. And so the call for us then is to let us keep it holy. Since the Lord promises blessing in keeping the Sabbath holy, let us keep it holy. Now, as we first of all consider, what does it mean to keep the Sabbath holy? Well, the word holy at its very base and its core refers to something being separated, something being set aside from something that is common to something that is special. And one of the things that my parents did as I was growing up, as a child, was if we would have people over, guests over, you know, my parents wouldn't make me share all of my toys. They could say, Ryan, you know, there's going to be some kids coming over. You can pick out a handful, a few, that we will set aside. We'll kind of put away, put up, and the guests coming over won't be able to play with those. So in doing that, what we were doing and what I was doing in choosing those particular toys to set aside, I was making those toys holy. I was separating them out from something that was common in general to something that is special to me. And that's very similar to what the Lord does in making things holy. He is holy in and of himself. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He is separate from all that he has made. He is separate in his being. He is separate in his righteousness. Every aspect of his being, he is separate from us. He is holy. But he calls us, his people, to be holy. In doing so, he's separated us out of the world of the things that are common, and he has declared us to be his. We are holy, we are distinct, we are separate. But he has also separated then a day for his people to worship him. A day that is to be holy, a day that is to be separated from the rest of the week. He gives us 6 days to do what we need to get done, and then he gives us then the seventh day as a day that is set aside and holy. And up until the resurrection of Christ, that was the seventh day of the week. It was the Sabbath. The week ended with this day of rest. But then since the resurrection of our Lord on the first day of the week, his own pattern of meeting with his disciples on the first day of the week, the disciples' own changing of the name of that day from what was the first of Sabbath, meaning the first removed from the Sabbath in the Jewish week. You had the first of Sabbath, the second of Sabbath, and so on. And then the day before Sabbath was preparation, and then the Sabbath day. So the whole week was kind of organized around that in its naming. So instead of the first of Sabbath in the Jewish calendar, they changed the name to, this is the Lord's Day. This is the day. And when we read of Jesus meeting with his disciples, he would often meet on the first day of the week with his disciples in the evening. There is one elderly pastor friend who always said he loved going to the evening service because in the New Testament, that's when Jesus showed up and talked to his disciples. It was in the evening on the first day of the week. Now, as we consider then this day that has been set aside through Jesus' example and his command of setting this one day aside, being moved from the seventh day to this first day of the week, the call upon God to keep his Sabbath holy is now fixed to this first day of the week. So how do we keep it holy? How is it separated out? How is it made distinguished from the rest of the week? Well, the verses that we read here today in Jeremiah, the call upon God to hallow the Sabbath day. He talks about the gates of Jerusalem. Jeremiah was to go and to take this message to the gates of Jerusalem, and then repeatedly talks about carrying a burden to the gates of Jerusalem. See, the city gates were the position of the civil authorities, but also of commerce. Commerce was transacted in the city gates. It was where the markets were held. It was where there was economic activity going on and taking place. And so when God calls upon his people not to carry a burden into the city gates or to the city gates or out of their house, going to the city gates, it is a call to not engage in economic activity on the Sabbath day. Not taking care of business on the Sabbath day. No working, no purchasing. This is kind of the holiness baseline. This is what it is to separate the day from the rest of the week to the Sabbath day. This is kind of the bare minimum, the baseline. We don't do economic work on the Sabbath day. Now, as we consider kind of why we do this, in verse 21, God says to Jeremiah to say to the people, "Take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem." You know, when the Lord says to take heed to yourselves, there's a couple ways that we could look at that. There is the kind of the physical aspect of rest. You know, God did not design our bodies to be pushed and to be going forward 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. He designed our bodies to need rest. And we have a reminder of this every day as we lay down and we try to go to sleep at night. Our bodies need rest on a daily basis. But also on a weekly basis, our bodies need rest. They need to just set the hard labor aside for a moment and to rest. This is one of the ways in which Jesus means when he says the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a gift. I mean, think of it this way. God is commanding us to stop. He's commanding us, don't work. Don't do it. Stop lifting those burdens. Take a break. Rest. Recuperate. This is your day. I have given it to you for rest. Take heed to yourself. One of the stories that my mom shared of, you know, our family history of people moving out west. I've shared this story several times. If I have already shared it here, my apologies. But it's a good story for this physical rest that is needed on the Sabbath. And back in the pioneer days, you know, my ancestors were part of a group moving west. And the group wanted to get to out west in time to, you know, plow the fields, plant a crop before, you know, the seasons changed. And there wasn't much time to do it. And so as they approached the first Sunday in their journey, half of the group wanted to continue marching on Sunday. Like, we need to get there as quickly as possible. The other half of the group wanted to stop and rest and keep the Sabbath day holy, to not push too hard. So they decided to divide. And the one group went on ahead. And over time, as they journeyed, the second group, who rested on the Sabbath, caught up to the first group. And then they passed them. And then they got to their destination. Their animals were rested. Their equipment was well maintained. And they could get right to work. Eventually, the other group arrived. Their animals needed to recuperate and rest. Their equipment needed repairs. And so they were behind the first group and getting their crop planted and things getting off to a good start. We need rest. And there is a reason why God has given us a Sabbath day, to first take care of our physical bodies, to rest. But there's also here our souls. We are creatures made of body and soul. We have a true body. We have reasonable souls. And our souls need rest. And the Sabbath day is given to us by God as the day to worship Him. As the day to set aside the world and to engage in this highest calling that we have as image bearers of God, to worship our Creator. And in doing this activity of worship, we come in and we sit under the reading of the Word and the preaching of the Word, praying, the singing of God's Word. And we are taught by Him through His Word, by His Holy Spirit working in us. As we hear His Word sung, as we hear it read, as we read it ourselves, as we hear it preached, the Holy Spirit is engaging in a real activity of taking His Word and blessing us as individuals, as souls. And it's a call for us not just this time of setting apart the Sabbath day, but then the rest of the day. Now, it's not that we can do nothing but just engage in only, you know, reading your Bible, or the only thing, words you say have to do with, you know, scriptural, quoting scripture passages or something like that. A part of this well-being that we have for our souls is a fellowship of believers and talking to one another about how this past week has been. How can we pray for one another? How can we encourage one another? How can we help carry one another's burdens in a spiritual sense? This is all part of it. Resting and engaging. In Exodus chapter 31, we read, beginning in verse 12, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." Do we remember that as we set apart the Sabbath day, as we engage in the worship of God, that it is a sign to the world around us, it is a sign to us ourselves that we are unique people, that we are distinct, that we are God's people, that He is working in us, that He is sanctifying us. And how does this do this? How does the Sabbath, how is it a sign to us that it is God who sanctifies you and me? I mean, think about what we do on the Sabbath and keeping it holy. We are setting aside economic activity. We are setting aside our burdens, our labors. We are setting aside our work. And we are entering into the presence of God to be fed by Him and to be nurtured by Him. It is a public display that we are not saved by our own works. We are not saved by our own efforts. We are saved by the work and the power and the might of God Himself, by His grace, by His means of working in us. It is a call for us, brothers and sisters, that we do not save ourselves, but it is Christ. And ultimately, we rest, not just from our labors and carrying heavy burdens, but we rest in Christ for our salvation. That is what the Sabbath points us to. So our call, brothers and sisters, is to keep the Sabbath holy for the well-being of both our bodies and souls. To publicly declare that we are resting in Christ alone for our salvation. Secondly, we keep the Sabbath holy to receive a blessing. Going back to Jeremiah chapter 17, and in verse 24, "And it shall be, if you heed me carefully, says the Lord, to bring no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work in it. Then shall enter the gates of this city kings and princes sitting on the throne of David." If you heed me carefully, God says to His people, if you listen, Now, as we consider the kind of context of where Jeremiah wrote, this was in part through the exile. And if we remember why one of the reasons God exiled his people was for the profaning of the Sabbaths. He told his people that the land would enjoy its rest, the land would enjoy its Sabbaths for 70 years, and then they would return. Here, as Jeremiah is proclaiming God's message, the message is one of restoration. If you renew this commitment to the Sabbath, if you hold fast in keeping this day holy, there is then blessing promised. Kings will sit again on your thrones, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will prosper and be blessed. No. National stability in the days of Jeremiah would have been a huge burden on the hearts and minds of the people. And in verse 25, this is kind of the first blessing that's promised. There would be national stability for Israel and for Jerusalem. Not just stability, but something that is thriving, something that is growing, something that is prospering. See, we can think about how the Sabbath day is another day that we could work towards something. It's another day for us to get some stuff done. But that's not how God works. He calls us to refrain at times from doing something that we think might be good and get something done. And in refraining comes then his blessing. That's what God calls us to do with our time. He's given us the 6 days. And he calls upon us to set aside 1 in 7, the Sabbath day that he has declared, this first day of the week, as holy to the Lord. Now, as we consider stability and thriving, this is not only just for a church, but also individual blessings that can come. Our own stability. You know, there may be times when someone might have to decide between a job or keeping the Sabbath. That can create a lot of anxiety. Will God provide? Will he meet our needs? God will provide what we need. And God will provide what is necessary for us. It may be losing a job or being passed over for a promotion, but the Lord will provide, and he is always faithful to do so. And if we take such a sacrifice, I am convinced that there is a great stability and blessing of peace that God gives to his people in those instances when we make that sacrifice in humble obedience to him. He gives peace in such instances, and he gives encouragement. Now, there are also spiritual blessings promised to the Israelites for renewing a commitment to the Sabbath day in 26. And they shall come from cities of Judah and from the places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin, from the lowland, from the mountains, and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and incense, bringing sacrifices of praise to the house of the Lord. When we as a church set aside the Sabbath day as holy, there is great blessing for us in a spiritual sense. You know, one of the things that when I went to seminary that I committed to, you know, you can kind of think that, like, well, you go to seminary, you're studying about God. Theology is a big part of seminary. You're studying the Word of God in depth and in detail. You're reading commentaries. You're reading books about the Bible. You're reading the Bible itself. You're studying it. You're diving in. And there's a temptation that as you have other responsibilities throughout the week of doing classwork, on the Sabbath day. After all, this material, I mean, you're studying about God. But as I entered seminary, one of the commitments that I made was I wouldn't do seminary study on the Sabbath day. And it was something that was a temptation, but it was a great blessing, even though the subject matter itself was the Bible and God himself. Being able to set aside on that day the responsibility of seminary grades and work, and to just know that I didn't have to study for that. I didn't have to do that work. I could just rest under the preaching of the word and worship God and read books for fun if I wanted to about him. One of the things too that as Alicia and I met each other and talked, you know, she in her former life before we got married, she was an accountant. And she went to got her CPA training. And, you know, as you're working, but then also becoming a CPA, I mean, you've only got so many days in the week. But one of the encouragements she found, there was more work to do, but she also set aside study for the Sabbath day. And she was able to get it, just like all the others. She was rested, and the Lord blessed her in that. When we come to the Sabbath day, it's important for us to remember that we're not so much as giving up something, but we are gaining something far more valuable. And we see that in Jeremiah, or in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58, we read in verses 13 and 14. It says, "If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride in the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken." What is the chief blessing that we gain in keeping the Sabbath day and setting it aside as holy? Now, I've talked a lot about refraining from doing things, and, you know, this is a pretty mature spiritually crowd. And so we know that there are those acts of necessity. There are those acts of mercy that God says to do. There are those lines of work that are needed and must be done on the Sabbath day. There are those acts that we can take of showing mercy to one another that, yes, God says, yes, show mercy to one another. Again, I think it boils it down. I like to keep things as simple as possible. Unnecessary economic activity. It was one example I gave in Seattle was, you know, if on Saturday you're watching TV and your cable goes out, like, well, the cable's not necessary for Sunday. You don't need to watch TV. You just wait a day. Call the cable company on Monday and let them know that it's out. But if your pipes burst on a Sunday, call the plumber. That's an emergency. That's needed. But back then to this, God's call upon his people of our chief desire and the chief blessing that we receive from the Sabbath day, it's not material. Prosperity isn't why we're to keep the Sabbath. It's not all the, you know, the good health, good whatever. The promise that God makes if we delight ourselves in the Sabbath day is a growing delight in him. the chief blessing that we receive in setting apart the Sabbath from a common day to a holy day is that we get more of God. We delight in Him more. And the image here is one of having your feet turned to something that in any other day is a good and wonderful thing, but then turning your back and then gazing upon something far greater. One illustration I used is there was one time we Leash and I took a little hike and around the base of Mount Rainier, and we were on this, I think it's a Sourdough Ridge or Sunrise Ridge, I can't remember exactly the name of the ridge, but we were on this ridge and we were gazing north and we could see the Cascades and its different peaks, and it was a beautiful sight, just amazing and wonderful, and we were taking that in. But then we kind of turned around, and right there at the base was Mount Rainier, and this beautiful blue sky and the glaciers just glistening with the sunlight reflecting off of it, and it really just, the glory of it took your breath away. And that's what Isaiah here is talking about, is we can have our feet towards something that is good and perfectly fine on any other day, but what the call is on the Sabbath day is to turn our feet. That's our work. That's our action. By God's grace, by His strength, to turn our feet away from these ordinary good things and instead gaze upon Him and take in His glory and to be fed and to be nurtured by Him. Brothers and sisters, we're called to set aside the Sabbath day as holy, and there are blessings that are promised. But as Jeremiah also says, and he closes, there are warnings. That if we don't heed the word of God, that instead of these blessings entering the gates of Jerusalem, there will be a fire kindled in its gates, and it will devour the palaces and not be quenched. I think one of the greatest sources of problems in the church today is a loss of the Sabbath. When we lose the Sabbath day, when we say in our hearts, like, well, I'll make this day my Sabbath and not the day that God has established, we are setting ourselves up as God, and we are losing the blessings that He has promised in the keeping of this day. And as we treat this day as any other day to do whatever else we would like to do, instead of what God would want to do and what God desires us to do, we lose out on that blessing that He has called us to, of giving us more of Himself and sanctifying us, making us more in the image of Christ. And as the church has said that we can keep 9 of the 10 commandments and the 4th one is that is a declaration in the world that we don't really care about God and what He has commanded us to do. Because if we don't set aside this day, there will be no day. Every day will be the same. There will be no holy day for us. And we will not have the blessings that God has promised. But if in His grace we turn our feet from our own desires, and we glorify Him in this day, setting this day as holy, His promise, brothers and sisters, is to give us a greater delight in Him and a greater delight in His day. So since the Lord promises blessing in keeping the Sabbath day, let us, brothers and sisters, set it aside and by His grace keep it holy. Amen. Our gracious Lord, we do thank You for this day. And Father, we have all profaned Your day in some way, shape, or form. There is not a human being who has ever lived save our Lord Jesus Christ, who has kept Your day pure. And so, Lord, we humbly ask Your forgiveness for not honoring the Sabbath day as we should, for not turning our feet from our desires and instead taking our delight in you. May we, Lord, find greater delight in you, turning our feet from what we love and what we want, setting aside this day as one that is holy to the Lord and not for common use. May you, Father, give us the blessings that you promise in keeping your Sabbath holy. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.